ESPN, the Undefeateds, Dominique Foxworth. He's on with those guys all the time. Hey, Dominique, good morning.
No one watches CBS. Let's be clear.
Nobody. Lies.
Nobody watches CBS.
I am proof.
No, I think that's fake news. CBS is number one rated. I don't know anyone who watches CBS. Like, you know, grown ups watch like Netflix or HBO or something like that. Or I mean, even ABC has some good shows, but CBS.
You're sleeping on Big
it's
Bang
the
Theory,
weirdest
but
thing.
Unfortunately for you, it's about to be over.
It's so
weird. It's like a solid 15-year run.
But don't they have like a spinoff where it's like the Big Bang Theory people as kids? So
yeah, they do.
Going, right?
Young Sheldon, and apparently it's very popular as well. I do not watch that one. That takes it too far for me.
It's so weird. I mean, like Dominique, Dominique, you don't know anyone who has ever said, "Did you see this week's episode of NCIS?" And apparently, that's the number one show in the country.
Nah, I don't watch CBS. I don't know anyone who watches CBS. My wife really likes network television, and I give her a hard time, but she doesn't even watch CBS. She watches, like, the ABC shows,
yeah.
All the Shonda Rhimes stuff,
yeah.
Disney-related properties, which is actually good. But CBS, I'm trying to think of a show so that I can make fun of CBS with that show, but past Big Bang Theory, I don't know, 60 Minutes. I watch 60 Minutes every now and then. They got a good something going, but
yeah,
it's mostly
show.
Just because the football game like leads right into it, so then I leave it on.
Yeah. Dominique, help me out with this here, okay? Because this is something that I've been talking about for a couple years, and it's worth bringing up again today. So the Packers lose last night. They're going to miss the playoffs, okay? Aaron Rodgers is going to miss the playoffs this year. And, I mean, look, I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. He's one of the all-time greats. But I don't understand why Aaron Rodgers doesn't get the same treatment, doesn't get the criticism for only one Super Bowl win right now in his career that Peyton Manning was seemingly getting every single year for only having one Super Bowl win at the time. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I think it's in part because Peyton Manning was so good during the regular season and his teams were so good during the regular season. They entered the playoffs as favorites many times, and then them not making it is viewed as a disappointment. And then it's put on Peyton Manning because he didn't have great games as a failure. I think Aaron Rodgers' career has been very different, where they have rarely been in the playoffs considered favorites. The year that they made that run for the Super Bowl, I'm not sure people were thinking that they were going to do that. So I think the expectations for Aaron Rodgers are different. And because of those expectations and because of those regular seasons, the blame for them not making it is probably more fairly distributed elsewhere, because I'm not sure that you could say that it's Aaron Rodgers' fault in the same way that that you would want to. And honestly, I'm a Peyton Manning defender also. I don't necessarily think it was his fault many of those years that they didn't make it. It's just one game sample in the playoffs, and sometimes things don't work out, but it's a lot easier to call somebody a choker.
You know, I think you're right, where Peyton Manning's Colts teams were consistently number one, number two. When Rodgers won the Super Bowl, they were a wild card, and they won all the games on the road. But it's like Peyton Manning is being criticized for being too good in the regular season, where Aaron Rodgers, it's better that his teams were just kind of slightly above average in the regular season. You know, like Manning is getting criticized for being too good.
And Rodgers' numbers have been incredible during the regular season, but the win-loss total has been incredible. But, I mean, I agree it's not fair, but it's kind of how life works when you create these expectations. It's a funny thing that I was telling one of my friends a few years ago that was about to get married, and I told him, like, the one thing that I got most wrong about marriage is that you think that you can earn points by doing a bunch of, like, really sweet things. But, no, those things that you do then become the expectation, and I think it's the same thing. So once you start winning 13 games a year, every year, people expect you to finish that off. If you don't finish it off, they think that you stink. You go 9-7 and win a couple playoff games, people look at you and say, wow, what a great player, what an overachiever, which is, it's not fair, but it's true. And I think, to be honest, it's in part because Peyton Manning's teams were better constructed than many of Aaron Rodgers' teams and were better coached, honestly. So I think it's fair that some of the criticism does not go on Aaron Rodgers, because I don't think it's all Aaron Rodgers' fault.
Don't you think it's a little bit of a likable factor as well? Like being in the locker room, I think Aaron Rodgers seems like, and I'm a former offensive lineman, it just seems like it would be cooler to play for Aaron as it would be for Peyton, because we've all heard the horror stories about Peyton, how he would grab guys on their time off, make them watch film with him. He was very diligent.
But and he's
he
was kind funny of, in those commercials.
Now he's funny. But during his playing days, nobody knew the sense of humor that Peyton had. Everybody just saw the militant, diligent, hardworking, play-calling, ridiculous audibles at the line of scrimmage, and just a plethora of BS that came out of Peyton Manning for opposing defenses. But I just think the Aaron Rodgers thing is just like the gunslinging, cool quarterback to play for.
Yeah, but ironically, I'm pretty good friends with Jeff Saturday, who played with both of them. And Jeff would always very openly say that Peyton Manning was a great teammate because he was the guy who wanted to hang out and wanted to take everybody out and pay for everybody to do things as a team. And Aaron Rodgers is very much not that guy. Aaron Rodgers comes to work and then he goes off and does his own thing. And he wasn't necessarily a bad teammate, but he wasn't the guy who was calling everybody up, trying to get them together and hang out. So I can understand being annoyed by Peyton Manning being on everybody at practice and wanting you to spend all your time at the office. But I could also feel like he's a cool guy who has a lot of connections and a lot of money, and he's hooking you up. Everyone would really like that.
Right. Dominique, you're really well-versed in, you know, NFL Players Association, NBA Players Association stuff. Did Le'Veon Bell screw up somewhere along the line here?
I mean, I think it's fair to criticize him for the kind of wishy-washy flip-flopping throughout. It seemed like they didn't necessarily have a clear, coherent plan, but I think that it makes sense. The decisions that he made make sense, and the people who are saying that he's never going to get that money back or he's lost the money, I think I'm missing the point. The point isn't that he wanted to make $14 million this year. The point is that he wanted to make more, and he's most certainly going to make at least $15 or $16 million and probably more than that, which he wouldn't see if he got injured. And I think the point was he wasn't willing to risk the injury or the wear and tear on the body that could cost the money. I'm not sure that it was. I think it probably would have been better had he played all season and made all that money, but that's a risk he wasn't willing to take. And I certainly do think that whether he gets paid or not, he set some precedent that I think other guys are going to look at, where you can sit out an entire year and have the franchise tag not impact your free agency. And I think that'll shift some of the pressure back onto the teams in the league in a way that it hasn't been for guys who are facing franchise tags in the past.
Were those numbers that were coming out of Pittsburgh about the guaranteed money that he was going to get, was that 17 number legit or was that a made-up number?
Yeah, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. But either way, I don't think that the way that the Steelers have handled it has been great either. Well, I guess it's more the players than the front office. But the rummaging through his stuff, like, it's kind of funny, but it's also, like, kind of petty and rude. And if he's not on your mind and you don't care about him, it seems odd that they find ways to put them in the center of what they're doing every week. But I think that'll go by, that story will probably go by the wayside now that they're like in the playoff hunt and people consider them a legitimate championship contender.
Would you be able to separate being in the locker room, being on that team, on that roster? Would you be able to separate the business side from the personal side and be okay with him making that decision to not come back and really fight for a contract, or would you take it personally?
Well, yeah, and let me also add in here too, Dominique, you know, because you could speak on the NBA side also, and we know what's going on with Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and Draymond yelling about contract status and stuff. Like, you're someone, Romberg too, someone who was in NFL locker rooms for many years. I'm, as someone who doesn't know anything about that stuff, I'm really surprised that this kind of drama when it comes to money and contracts and are you with us or not, it's like, I'm surprised that stuff doesn't come out more often, man.
Yeah, well, you don't separate the money from the business. Like, I think that's, like, something that we all pretend like we can be, like, these unbiased people who are, like, robots. No, you can't separate all those things. And I think, and this is pure speculation, but I think that there more goes into people's relationship. The way that they're reacting is more about their relationship with that particular teammate than anything else. Because if it's somebody you like, you have their back. If somebody you don't like, then you kind of don't have their back, is normally what it comes down to. And as for the Draymond Green thing, I'm not one, as soon as it happened, before he even got suspended, I was one to say that let's not pretend like this is not a big deal. And I think everyone was willing to sweep it under the rug. But I thought it was a big deal in part because Draymond Green, everyone on that team has an identity that they can grab. It's like Steph is the greatest shooter of all time. KD is like a 7'2" guard. And Klay Thompson is a great defender. And Draymond Green's thing is that he pushes your buttons. He's an emotional leader. For him to be kind of reprimanded for doing that, like, I feel like it calls into question his point for being on the team. And I think that's probably what could be a problem more than anything, because I think that allows what allows him to be this flexible guy who doesn't need to put up a bunch of points. It's part that we all recognize that he offers some sort of intrinsic value. And if we're going to say that that value is actually hurting them, I think that hurts the way that he fits into that team going forward.
Well, it is part of his identity on the team, but I guess he did it to the wrong guy, a guy who they're trying to get to stay in Golden State, who it doesn't seem like is. Going back to the Le'Veon situation for a second, what surprised me was the backlash. It seemed like, anyways, from inside Le'Veon Bell's own locker room. And the reason that surprised me is because, like you said, what he's doing ultimately is good overall for players to be able to do this in the future. Like, isn't this really what NFL players need to do in order to gain some more power against these teams?
Yeah, I mean, the tough thing about this type of situation is what you need NFL players to do is you need them all to do it at the same time. You can't have one guy here or there. You need everyone to be willing to sit out at the same time, and then you can affect some sort of change. But that's really tough to do when everyone's at a different point in their career and different point in their contract. So I think Le'Veon is taking one small step. But like I said a second ago, I think it's more about the way they feel about him and not necessarily about the way they feel about this situation. Because I think in abstract, you ask any player, like, hey, this guy's not happy with his contract, so he doesn't show up. And we have to remember that Le'Veon is not holding out on a contract. Le'Veon is not signing a contract that he thought wasn't a contract that he wanted. So it's not that he's being fined because he won't show up and he's not serving out his contract. That he is not under contract. So he's just like if you and I decided we didn't want to show up to the Steelers, they have just as much, ownership over his rights as they would to us. So that's another thing that I think goes into this that confuses me on why it's so much backlash, because he's not a part of that team.
That's a good point. They have his rights, but he is not under contract. That's a good point. You can check Dominique out, of course, at the Undefeated ESPN. Great job, Dominique. Thanks a lot for joining us, man.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Dominique Foxworth.